Welcome to The Deep Dive. This is the show crafted for you, the listener, who really wants to get straight to the point, cut through all the noise, and, well, instantly grasp what matters most.
That's right.
Today, we're doing a special deep dive, looking at commercial real estate news from the week of July 4th, 2025. Our mission, simple. We want to arm you with the key insights from the latest reports, help you get informed, fast, without getting lost in all the data.
Absolutely. And it's a complex landscape out there right now.
It really is. And this deep dive is brought to you by Eureka Business Group. They're your go-to commercial real estate broker, specializing in retail right here in Dallas-Fort Worth.
A very dynamic market.
Exactly. And the insights we're about to unpack, they're especially valuable for understanding those bigger market forces that, you know, really influence local opportunities, particularly for retail clients.
Yeah, definitely. And to really get a handle on commercial real estate, you often have to start with the fundamentals. The residential housing market is a big one.
The foundational.
Absolutely. If you look at the home price index data, it tells, well, quite a story. Continuous growth across the U.S., basically from 2010 right through 2024.
Continuous growth. But haven't things cooled off a bit recently?
Well, yes and no. We saw these huge annual change peaks, you know, around 2013, and then again, really sharply in 2021, 2022. We're talking growth over 20% annually.
Wow. Yeah.
But more recently, it has stabilized. It's now sitting between, say, 0 and 4% annual change for 2023 and 2024.
Okay, 0 to 4%, that sounds maybe manageable on the surface. But I keep hearing homeowner costs are actually higher than ever. How does that work?
That's the critical piece. So while the rate of price increase has slowed, the actual cost for homeowners, they've hit record highs by 2025.
Cook.
It's not just the median sales price, though that's part of it. A huge driver has been the sharp rise in mortgage interest rates.
Ah, the rates.
Exactly. And that, of course, pushes up monthly mortgage payments significantly, yeah, especially since, you know, post-2020.
Right. So what's the knock-on effect for, say, a retail business owner in DFW trying to figure out their customers? Less spending money.
It's definitely impacting discretionary income. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also reshaping what people prioritize spending on. We're seeing a shift, maybe subtle, but it's there.
How so?
More focus on essential services, value shopping, maybe more localized convenience shopping rather than, say, big luxury purchases or things you can put off.
Interesting. So affordability is really changing behavior.
It is. Retailers really need to think about what prime location means now. It's not just foot traffic. It's also about the purchasing power in that specific area and those shifting consumer needs.
That makes a lot of sense. And that theme of cost pressure and changing priorities, it leads us right into the corporate world, doesn't it? Companies rethinking their office space.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge focus. We're seeing really fundamental shifts in how companies approach occupancy planning. It's way beyond just square footage now.
More strategic.
Definitely. The data on the top objectives for corporate real estate planning in 2025, well, it's very telling. Optimized portfolio just shot up to the number one spot.
Number one.
Yeah, for 73% of respondents. That's a big leap from third place just last year.
Okay.
And right behind it, reduced cost to portfolio is still very strong at 71%. Then you've got things like improved space data accuracy at 68%, improved reporting at 64%. It's all about efficiency, data.
Efficiency and cost, sure. But then you also hear about companies wanting people back in the office more. How do those things fit together? Seems a bit contradictory.
It does seem that way, but it's about finding a new balance. Look at the new objectives popping up in the top 10 for 2025.
Okay, like what?
Well, increase employee presence on-site is there at 59%,
mm-hmm,
but also reduce environmental impact is now in the top 10 at 40%.
Interesting. So it's not just cost cutting.
Right. It's evolving. Yeah. Companies are trying to figure out the right mix. And the data on optimization progress shows this. About 41% have already downsized. They're kind of back to business as usual in that smaller footprint.
Okay.
But another 32%, they still plan more downsizing. Only 13% actually plan to increase space, and 14% made no changes.
So downsizing is still very much the trend. What does that mean for traditional offices and, you know, the ripple effect on shops and restaurants nearby?
It's profound. This whole hybrid work model becoming mainstream and the downsizing that goes with it, it's really changing urban centers.
Yeah.
The idea of the, you know, the 9-to-5 downtown office being the only hub, that's fading.
So where's the activity moving?
It's decentralizing.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually seeing some suburban areas, places maybe previously overlooked, becoming sort of unexpected retail hotspots.
Mm.
Services are following the workers closer to home where they spend their hybrid work days.
Right. So the demand shifts geographically.
Exactly. which naturally leads to the rise of flexible office solutions. It's a direct response from the market.
Companies want agility, the market provides. Makes sense.
Precisely. You see examples like DeskPass in Los Angeles. They offered, a whole range of options, shared spaces like Central Office Downtown LA or Indie Desk,
Yeah.
but also private office rooms. And the pricing reflects that flexibility, maybe $20, $45 a day, something like that. No long-term lease needed.
That flexibility is key. So for our listeners maybe thinking about retail and DFW, how does this DeskPass example translate? If people aren't downtown 5 days a week, where do you put your coffee shop?
That's the big question for retail planning now, isn't it? If your target customer is only in the downtown office tower 2, maybe 3 days a week, well, the demand for that quick lunch spot right there, it naturally drops.
Okay.
But those employees, they still need coffee, lunch, maybe dry cleaning, a gym, closer to home on the other days.
Right, the days they work remotely.
Exactly. So this creates what you might call hyper-local retail opportunities. Think about suburban areas, maybe Frisco or Plano, suddenly seeing a lunch rush they never had before, or neighborhood centers becoming busier during the day.
So for investors, it's about mapping not just homes, but where people work remotely.
Precisely. Those residential adjacent commercial spots, they become increasingly valuable. The daily foot traffic is shifting. It's a whole new map.
Fascinating. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Moving away from the national picture, let's talk Texas. It just keeps coming up in real estate news.
It really does. Strong growth across the board.
And one trend that really stood out to me was manufacturing leasing. That seems, well, surprisingly strong. What are you seeing in those numbers?
Yeah, the manufacturing leasing numbers are quite striking, especially when you compare regions. The U.S. average, it saw a bit of an increase, maybe from around 11% of total leasing in 2017-2019, up to about 13% in 2022-2024.
Okay, a small bump nationally.
Right, but Texas, it saw a huge jump in that same period, went from about 18% of total leasing up to a really notable 25%.
Wow, 18 to 25%. That's significant.
It really is. Even the Southwest region, Arizona and Nevada, they saw strong growth too, maybe 15% up to 20%. But Texas is clearly leading the pack there.
That's undeniable growth. But when we say manufacturing boom, what does that really mean for jobs and subsequently for retail demand? Is it all robots, or are we seeing actual population growth tied to this, especially thinking about DFW?
That's a really important question for understanding the retail side. Yes, automation is part of modern manufacturing, no doubt. But this surge in Texas, it's broad. It is creating a significant number of diverse jobs.
Okay.
Think about chip manufacturers, EV plants, things like that, choosing Texas. They bring large workforces, engineers, managers, technicians, assembly workers, the whole spectrum.
Right, it's not just one type of job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that direct job growth, it fuels population influx. New people move in, they bring families. That means more demand for everything. Housing, yes, but also grocery stores, restaurants, clothing shops, entertainment, all types of commercial real estate.
So it really boosts the entire ecosystem.
Absolutely. It makes places like Dallas-Fort Worth really prime locations for retail development and expansion because you've got this consistently growing customer base demanding a full range of goods and services.
And we can see that population growth playing out very clearly, right? Looking at the Austin area, for instance, gives us more detail on these trends.
Yeah, Austin's a great example of that sustained Texas growth. The latest Census Bureau data from July 2023 to July 2024 shows some interesting patterns.
What stands out?
Well, in terms of just raw numbers, nominal change, Leander added the most people over 7,000. Then Georgetown, Round Rock, and Austin itself added around 4,000 to 4,600 each.
Okay, so the suburbs are really driving the numbers.
Largely, yes.
Right.
Though Austin City still grew. Interestingly, a couple of places like Buda and Lakeway saw slight dips. But if you look at percentage change, that often highlights the really fast emerging spots.
Right, the smaller base is growing quickly.
Exactly. Dripping Springs grew by almost 17%, Liberty Hill 15%, Lockhart 11%, Hutto over 9%. Even Leander was still up almost 9%.
Lockhart at 11%. That one jumped out at me too. It's not a name you always hear in those top growth lists.
Yeah.
What's the significance there?
Lockhart's rise is pretty interesting. It climbed into the top 10 fastest growing cities, number 7 in 2024. It was ranked much lower just back in 2021.
So it signals that decentralization we were talking about.
Precisely. And you see the flip side too, the city of Austin itself, its ranking among the fastest growing cities has generally declined over that same 2021-2024 period.
Yeah.
Growth is clearly spreading out.
What's the takeaway for someone looking at retail opportunities, maybe even thinking about DFW by analogy?
The takeaway is that these strong, sustained growth patterns across Texas cities, not just in the big core cities, they underscore this fundamental demand for retail infrastructure. Shops, services, restaurants follow people.
Right.
It provides really valuable context for investing or developing anywhere in the broader Texas market, including DFW. It shows the growth engine is strong and is creating these vibrant new retail submarkets in areas that, you know, maybe weren't on the radar a few years ago.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's pivot slightly to investment strategy itself, opportunity zones. They've been around for a bit, known for the tax benefits, but what's really driving investors to put money there? Is it just the tax break?
It's a great question. Gets into investor motivation. And the data is, well, pretty clear on the main driver.
Which is?
Taxes. About 66%, two-thirds, of investors say tax advantages are their single most important reason for investing in opportunity zones.
Okay, so that's the dominant factor. No surprise, really.
Not really, no. It's a powerful incentive, but it's not the only factor. Returns come in second, cited by about 17% of investors. Still significant.
Almost one in five?
Yeah. And then social impact is also notable, around 15%, which reflects, you know, a growing interest in community benefits alongside profit.
That's interesting, the social impact piece.
It is. And finally, portfolio diversification is a smaller factor, around 5%. So yeah, it's a mix, but heavily weighted towards those tax advantages.
So knowing that mix mostly tax, but returns and impact matter too, how does that help someone looking at, say, a retail development project in an opportunity zone in DFW?
Understanding those motivations is really key for putting together a compelling investment strategy or pitch.
How so?
Well, knowing tax advantages are paramount helps you frame the financial proposition. That's the main language investors are speaking, right?
Gotcha. Lead with the tax benefits.
Exactly. But also recognizing that solid returns and positive social impact matter to a significant minority means projects that can deliver on those fronts too. They might attract a wider, maybe more diverse group of investors.
Right. Broaden the appeal.
Precisely. And remember, these opportunity zones often overlap geographically with some of those growing areas we've been talking about. So they could be really fertile ground for retail development that serves these new populations while offering those very attractive tax incentives. It's a potential win-win.
That ties it all together nicely. Wow, what a packed deep dive today. We've really covered a lot.
We certainly have.
From the national housing market pressures and how that impacts spending, to the whole corporate office rethink and the shift towards hybrid work.
Mm-hmm. The decentralization trend.
Yeah, and then that incredible manufacturing boom here in Texas driving population growth, which we saw specifically in places like the Austin area.
And finally, unpacking what really motivates investors, especially when it comes to opportunity zones.
Exactly. Lots of interconnected pieces.
Indeed. And maybe a final thought to leave with our listeners, something to chew on.
Please.
Given all these dynamic shifts we've discussed, especially this strong population and economic growth here in Texas, combined with these changing work patterns and consumer spending habits, how might all this continue to reshape the very definition of what makes a prime retail location, particularly in markets like Dallas-Fort Worth in the, you know, the coming years?
Reshaping the definition of prime. That is a great question to mull over as you think about your next moves.
Definitely something to consider.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the commercial real estate market. We hope these insights were valuable. And remember, if you need expert guidance navigating this dynamic market, especially for retail opportunities right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Eureka Business Group is ready to help you turn these insights into action.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.